Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Welcome, welcome, Newsbusters listeners. Tim Graham is still out of the office, so that means your favorite media-busting night crew is back in the office at the crack of dawn to give you the latest in liberal media bias on this lovely Friday. I'm Nick Night Train Fondacaro, and Curtis Houck is by my side here.
All right, Nick, we got one more day of this, another successful fill-in stint for us. It's been a lot of fun. We've had a lot to talk about this week. We started with you coming back. Mm-hmm. Do you feel caught up now?
Pretty caught up.
Okay, all right.
Running on all cylinders.
All right, yeah, we're back to our old game. Nobody can stop us.
Exactly. And like I said, it's Friday, so TGIF. I wonder what our listeners will be doing this weekend. Well, for those of us here in the DC area, we have to rush to get in our nights of fun and libations because the mask mandates is back in effect. And even for those of us, like Curtis and I, who are vaccinated, we'll be going from blind dates to, is this my date?
Oh, thank goodness I have a girlfriend.
Exactly. So it's only me with this problem. I've seen a statistic that twice the number of D.C. residents have died from gun violence in recent weeks than COVID. So we have Mayor Bowser to thank for this. So she's picking her fights carefully. I'm waiting for her to be challenged in an election by a guy named Mario. Yesterday, Biden held his first press conference since the CDC told the public to put their masks back on. And boy, was it a doozy. Curtis here was covering that. He was all over it. Fox News White House correspondent Peter Ducey got right in under the president's skin by simply asking him about his past comments, promising that the vaccinated didn't need to wear masks anymore. Let's check that out. Biden getting heated.
President, you said if you were fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Peter.
And it seems
I have to say that you're fully vaccinated in an area where we do not have. Well, let me clarify.
In May, you made it sound like the vaccine was the ticket to losing the mask forever. And
that is true at the time, because I thought there were people who were going to understand that getting vaccinated made a gigantic difference. And what happened was a new variant came along. They didn't get vaccinated. It was spread more rapidly, and more people were getting sick. That's the difference.
Wow, that's the most awake Biden has been all month. Right? Somebody gave him an energy drink. And while there were those in the liberal media who were more than willing and happy to go along with the Biden administration's latest blunder, surprisingly, there were a few, at least early on, that were willing to call out the harm that this does to the vaccination efforts. ABC last night with fill-in anchor Cecilia Vega keyed in on the Biden's exchange with Ducey and gave a bit of a quip that Biden was clearly not happy there. And admitted that the White House had a messaging problem. Oh, good thing I caught that. It seems that I had a typo in my script. I seem to have written massage problem. That was the problem that Biden had during the election. But I digress, Curtis.
Yeah, it is.
Now, their coverage of the reinstitution of the mask mandate provided a great distraction from the fact that the Biden administration has been busing COVID-infected illegal immigrants to all border towns all along the U.S.-Mexico border. I'm not sure that Kamala Harris would be happy with this kind of busing, or she might be happy with this kind of busing. As Fox News reported on Wednesday, in La Jolla, Texas, there was one infected family that was spotted and called in because they were at a restaurant just coughing and sneezing all over the place, not wearing masks. On the issue of the infected coming across the border, the Washington Post actually admitted that the administration now fears that it will be blamed for a pandemic resurgence made worse by the border influx. No bleep Sherlock. The border is open and Biden is helping spread the virus while making the vaccinated put on masks. A plan so ridiculous, it could only be cooked up in Washington, D.C., guys. Speaking of nonsensical COVID decisions, our favorite roid-raging Italian gorilla, Chris Fredo Cuomo, was embarrassing himself again. Or rather, another Italian was embarrassing him on his own show. On Wednesday, Fredo brought on a California restaurant owner, Tony Roman, to berate him for having a policy at his restaurant of only serving the unvaccinated and the unmasked. Things started off hot with both of them sniping at each other over their mastery of the Italian language. Eventually, Roman slapped Fredo down with his own dirty laundry. He basically confronted Fredo on the fact that he sort of faked his quarantine, calling him out for going out and about and spreading it a little bit. And then he also called out Fredo's brother, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, for killing thousands of New York nursing home residents by packing it full of COVID patients. Let's take a listen to that.
The whole reason this is happening is because people won't protect themselves, Tony. I mean, what are you thinking?
Then why did you leave your house when you had COVID? I mean, you had it and you left your house. I mean, it's been documented.
First
right?
of all,
so
it has been documented. My ass, it's been documented.
Why
I quarantined.
Why
I went out.
It?
My wife got accosted by somebody.
I don't know, man.
And I know you don't know. So I'm trying to help you. The science is clear, Tony.
I'm trying to help me. I'm
I don't want
to
you to get sick the way I was
the
sick.
The science is clear. Oh, you care about me all of a sudden, huh?
Enough to have you on the show because I don't like people making bad decisions for themselves and their family. I was hoping it was a little bit of a stunt.
Oh.
You have the freedom not to take the vaccine.
Well,
I just don't
ask...
know why you think it's a good move.
Maybe we should ask your brother about protecting people, right?
Hey, I mean, look, that's his job. And if he doesn't do it well,
whole,
people won't
that's a
vote
whole,
for him.
A whole new can of worms.
But look, Tony, look, I don't
Listen,
know if you know me too well. I don't shy away from
much. My stand is not
I'm
a political
you about
stand.
You.
You're not going to drag me down the hole talking about the science. This is not about whether I'm pro-vaccine or not. I'm pro-freedom, anti-tyranny, okay? And, you know, maybe the conversation should really be between me and your brother.
The interview ended with both men calling each other idiots.
I mean,
so I
honestly, you
it.
Sound like an idiot, so there's not much to say. But, Tony, good luck with it. See ya.
And so do you.
Ayo! But did you take a note of what Fredo said when he was defending himself on the quarantine? Confrontation? He said, I went out. You don't go out when you're in quarantine? That's literally the opposite of quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
In his full comments, he seemed to be trying to argue that he only left his house because someone was harassing his wife outside. But the facts show us that Fredo wasn't at his house. He was, like, the house that he was supposedly hunkered down in the basement and dwelling like a cave creature. Because as we all know, on Easter Day in 2020, he was sighted surveying a house that he was having built for his family. He was there with his family, his wife and kids, and somebody else who knows who that was. And then a cyclist saw him and called him out. Fredo even admitted to having this interaction on his Sirius XM radio show, calling the guy who called him out the, quote, fat tire biker. This guy actually was on with Tucker Carlson later on, a few weeks later, and basically explaining what had happened. Eventually, Fredo and CNN staged this Lazarus moment where he was like rising up out of his basement, like he just came back from nearly being dead. So, Curtis, what do you think about that?
Well, first, I just have to say the massaging error was that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Bit of a Freudian slip.
Oh, a Freudian slip from Fredo. Oh, my goodness.
Or from me, rather. With
yeah,
that
from me. So I was thinking we'll work backwards here.
Yeah, sure.
First, you want to talk about this back and forth with Fredo.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good clip. But as you pointed out to me, we don't have to really dwell on this. I'll just note that that's one of those interviews where it is a dumpster fire. You've had this happen for many times in the... you know, 3-4 years since you've been watching Fredo's show, where there's nights where it's just two loud Italians yelling at each other.
Hey, boo!
Yeah, I was going to say, cut away to the Family Guy quips from Peter Griffin, you know.
Exactly.
That's,
I'm Italian, I can say it.
Yeah, he does. very self-deprecating. But one of the other things that Fredo went back and forth on, which was really substantive, was his interview with a Republican member of Congress who decided to enter the ring. So you can just run through that real quick, Nick, because I want to make sure people see this, because anytime we see Fredo getting knocked on his tail, you love to see it.
Oh, exactly. So we had Florida Congressman Byron Donalds. He went on Fredo's show. He was explaining how he and his family, all of whom have had COVID already, had decided with the after consulting with their personal doctors that they're not going to get vaccinated. And Fredo was just absolutely livid, suggesting that he, for all week, he's just been saying that Republicans have been trying or making us sick. Like the Republicans are the reason that the country is ill.
I got to interject and just point out that what are the vaccination rates in wards 7 and 8 of Washington, D.C.? Huh? What about New Orleans? Louisiana's been under the gun. You know, Don Lemon, his buddy, has alluded to that, but he doesn't really go any further than that. That, yes, there are issues with vaccination rates among some white conservatives. I don't think Nick or I would deny that.
Nope.
The issue is there's a level of inconsistency here.
Oh, yeah.
You go look and see what's going on in Cook County. A lot of these minority communities, majority-minority black congressional districts.
And
it's not erasing. It is simply a fact that mm-hmm. D.C.'s vaccination rate is where it is because of hesitancy for any number of reasons. But to just deny and make this a, you know,
they try to
kind of problem of Tucker viewers is simply a farce.
They try to make it. Because this is a personal issue for each individual person, but they're trying to make it a monolithic issue per demographics.
Right, exactly. That they think they can just broad brush it here when really that's not true. And there's issues across all voting blocks here.
Yeah.
And under these things that the Biden administration is saying, which is correct, is it's important for everyone to get vaccinated regardless of race or political party. So why don't you try to appeal to all of those people? Why don't you try to ensure that your base is tied down? But you're not doing that.
And that's sort of like where Donald's was going with his interview with Chris, where you had him saying it's like if you want to get vaccinated and if you feel like it's good for you, go ahead and get vaccinated. He was telling people go get vaccinated if that's what you choose to do. And then Chris literally a few minutes later was claiming it's like you're not out here, you're not telling people to go get vaccinated. And Donald's was just calling out. It's like, were you not listening to me 30 seconds ago? I literally just told people to go get vaccinated.
Right. Yeah. And just to put a bow on this, I think, well, I know for a fact, this is the issue with CNN. Once again, Don Lemon did this last night.
Yes.
Where conservatives are the enemy of the people in the eyes of CNN.
Mm-hmm.
Enemies of the state. Horrible human beings. Don could not even credit Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell for his consistent stance supporting vaccinations. Remember, he barely made it out of childhood alive because he had polio.
Oh, yeah.
So if anyone is going to support it, it's Mitch McConnell. Rex Chapman tried to do this last week, and he fell on his face. For once, Rex Chapman got owned even by Beltway Journos, which was one of the best things I've seen all year on Twitter.com. But it's just this level of disdain and disgust here that they can't bridge the gap here. And the president did some of this yesterday, but primarily the slave drivers on this are the news media, where they're trying to shame their audience just like they can on every other issue. They're trying to connect it to voting rights. Are you kidding me? They're trying to connect this to January 6th. No. Like, why can't we just, like, separate this out here? It's just so pathetic, and it's so dishonest, and they know exactly what they're doing. I think that's what makes us really upset about this.
Oh, exactly. And on McConnell coming out and, like, saying to get vaccinated, you actually had the opposite happen on Chris's show. So Chris was talking about credit where credit is due with McConnell on this, so I'm going to give Fredo a little credit where credit is due. And he talked about how McConnell put out newspaper ads in his in Kentucky, and then you had him also do radio hits, and he played the radio hit where he's talking, telling people to go get vaccinated, and Fredo was praising him for it.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll also here stick with COVID, then we can kind of briefly wave goodbye to that. We'll move on to other topics. The press conference that Nick alluded to in his monologue here, and he played some of it with Ducey. It was pretty incredible to see what was going on there. Biden, he just seemed to be contradicting himself. He made the statement that was so funny where he said, If unvaccinated people continue to behave the way they do, people who get heart attacks or break their hips won't be able to get hospital beds. Is there any evidence to that? Shout out to boss Tim Graham. Where are the fact checkers?
Yeah, like we did have, like early on, we did have them like cancel like elective surgeries and stuff, but we're still not seeing the same hospitalization rates that we were seeing back then because a lot of people are vaccinated and we've gotten better at treating it. We have the monoclonal antibodies. We have so many better treatments now, so we're just better at dealing with it. So for them saying we're going to backslide to where we were a year ago, that is fear-mongering it.
Oh, yeah.
At best.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fear porn as well. So, but, you know, Ducey had his exchange. He went back and forth with Karine Jean-Pierre a few hours earlier. There were some good reporters. Steve Holland from Reuters, the guy they sang happy birthday to a few weeks ago, asked the president, quote, how long do you think it might be necessary to wear a mask? Biden was really noncommittal on that answer. You know, we also had ABC's Rachel Scott filling in for Mary Bruce while I believe she's on maternity leave. Been doing a great job with questions like, quote, you said earlier this week that we are not headed back towards lockdowns, but if the science is evolving, how can you be so confident in that? We heard you saying weeks ago that the virus was on the run, but Dr. Fauci has also indicated that we are heading in the wrong direction. Excellent question. I don't know whether it's because Scott's a woman or Biden was just in a better mood. We know that's kind of your thing with people of his age where suddenly your mood changes. But Biden said, you're literally correct on everything you said, but it doesn't come to the conclusion you're implying. And then he went on to give this kind of Psaki-like word salad answer, suggesting – where he was correct was he did say if you're vaccinated, you're unlikely to get sick. But also kind of, Nick, undermines the argument for masks and restaurant restrictions and the idea of returning to lockdowns. Mm-hmm. Biden also underlined himself, and the reporters have kind of touched on this over the last 3 days, which is, wait a second. You guys have admitted that cases are going up and that you don't like that, but hospitalizations and deaths aren't really going anywhere. Justin Barragona, the guy that Tucker has made fun of, or Mark Stein with his googly eyes at the Daily Beast, who's kind of like Darcy, watches Fox. If you want to know what's on Fox, tune into that clown, was upset that they had a graphic during Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino's show this morning showing that in the last couple weeks, more people have been shot to death in Washington than died of COVID.
Yeah, that's what I brought up in my opening monologue there. And I believe it's today's front page of the New York Post, mm-hmm. so you can go and check that out, where they talk about the insanity of bringing back like masks and the idea of lockdowns when the deaths from breakthrough cases are 0.0007%, like fractions of a percent, and we're still freaking out.
Right, and people pointed out this is all about control. I think that's the really important thing here.
Yeah, and as long as we're sticking to the numbers and showing it, the American public will see this for what it is, really. And especially with like all the hysteria like last year when we had sort of the BLM protests and they were like not concerned about all these people being packed close together and spreading the virus. So we had Jorge Bonilla over at MRC Latino reporting on CNN's coverage there of the Cuban protests and CNN's sort of backtracking now on what protests are good again. You have the Cuban people protesting against communism and this oppression, this economic oppression that they've been subjected to for over 60 years. They've had enough of it. And CNN is now saying, hey, these protests are bad. They're spreading COVID.
Oh, really? Isn't that interesting? Yeah, Soria has pointed out their Havana correspondent, Patrick Opman, is kind of a regime flunky mm-hmm. whose translation is doing what he can so that he can be allowed to continue reporting there. This is what CNN did, perhaps most infamously, being able to report from Baghdad through the night between the two wars, the first and second Gulf War. I joked with him yesterday when we talked, we're going over the story. I said, it's a tradition unlike any other, CNN simping for dictators. And that's really where it is. The Chyron read, quote, Cuba sees surge in cases amid protests.
I'm always skeptical of journalists that are reporting from countries that A, don't like America, B, have strict travel regulations for who can come in, and B, is allowing them to report from inside their countries, because all of that stuff is clamped down on hard. So they really only let things out when they like the message.
Right. And I would say the same applies for U.S. journalists that are somehow still in China or Hong Kong.
Exactly.
We've had some networks or mostly papers had their reporters kicked out. And we still have some network TV people there. So just a side note, I would be skeptical. It's very important to go over with a fine comb future reports from reporters from these areas. You point this out with Elizabeth Palmer, who's seemingly able to parachute into Tehran whenever she wants.
Exactly. Though we do have some people who will admit, like, when they're reporting there, and then they come back and be like, hey, they were watching everything that we did, so here's some other stuff that we didn't say at the time. So sometimes they can do that. Speaking of reporting to be sort of either skeptical of, but stuff that should be looked in on, is the networks ignoring that Senator Barbara Boxer was assaulted and robbed in Oakland from my understanding, a fairly nice part of Oakland.
Right. Yeah, this is should be a wake up call for these people, but it won't. It wasn't covered by the networks. It was covered on CNN, which is pretty incredible. Nick wrote this up, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but
yeah,
it's something that we really want to point our readers to in case you missed it, because
it's the latest example of like the crime wave in America now affecting the political class, and
now that it affects them, now it's their problem.
So as Tim likes to say, visit Newsbusters once, twice, three times, four times, 24 times a day. He'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening.